If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for this portion of the word that deals with us as believers. We pray that you'd guide and direct now as we open the truths of the word of God to our hearts. May our hearts be open to them. Guide and direct in all that's said. May I say those things you'd have me to say and keep my mouth shut when I should. Have your way in our lives. Do what needs to be done in each heart. And we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking at these verses of scripture, we have a number of things that he is very clear on. He tells us several things in this book, and a lot of the foundation is laid in these 10 verses. He tells us how to love God's truth, how to know God's truth, and how to live God's way. How to love and what to love. He tells us what we should be and where we should be. He tells us what we say compared to where we are. And that's a needful thing in this day. He tells us what is the 5 ingredients of fellowship. That is the 5 chapters. And also, he spells it out, devotional and doctrinal, inspirational and instructional, provision and protection, love of God and love of truth of God, and how to know you're going to heaven and how to be happy on the way. I mean, that about covers it, doesn't it? Now, looking at that, let's notice that first verse. He introduces, and notice that the second verse is in parentheses. So, that's an insertion for explanation. And verse 1 and verse 3 go together, but the explanation's in the middle. Notice, that which was from the beginning. Who is that? Takes you back to John 1:1, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He takes you right back to the Creator in the beginning. That which was from the beginning. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, which our hand and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, what he's dealing with here is the proof positive, we might say, that he knows the one that was in the beginning. Notice now, he's heard him, the sense of hearing. He has seen him, sense of sight, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, touch. Remember that John was the one who leaned upon Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. He was one of the 3 inmost disciples during the ministry of our Lord, close to him and very close to him in the Last Supper. And so he's dealing with actual proofs. I mean, what more evidence can a man have? He's dealt with all of the senses here. And notice, he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now, here's his cause for the book. That ye may have fellowship with us. And verse 4, that your joy may be full. Now those two go together. And if you don't have fellowship with the Lord, you can't have fellowship with one another. Now you think about that. Most of the breaking of fellowship, in fact, I almost could say all of the breaking of fellowship between believers is because one or the other or both are not in fellowship with the Lord. And he's dealing with a very fundamental problem in Christianity today. I think about Paul in his writing to the Corinthians. He said, one of you says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of John. We are all of Christ. And he is the link, the major link, the important link that enables us to have fellowship one with another. That fellowship is in Christ. Now, let's take that little parenthesis and look at it for a moment. For the life that began all life, the life that created all things, was manifested. The word manifested has to do with to show forth completely. We celebrate his incarnation. The manifestation of the nature of God is through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who was God, the Son. He says, and we've seen it and bear witness. Now, I want to ask you something. You haven't seen him with the eye, but we've seen him by faith. And because we've seen him by faith, we have the same obligation that John had and the same command that John had to tell others, to bear witness. A witness, and by the way, I've said many times, I think John was a misplaced lawyer. He uses court language throughout. Both of his epistles, all of his epistles, all of his writings, and the gospel. And he uses the term witness, bear witness. Hey, folks, we are in a court situation. And it's almost like an enemy court in this world. And we're here to bear a testimony that will bring conviction in that court. Think about it. We have a job to do. What is the job of a witness? To tell what they know to be the truth. Do you know that Jesus is God the Son? How do you know it? By experience, what he's done for you and for me. So, we're to bear testimony of that fact. Notice, He says, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. The life that was with God in the beginning. The life that made all things and gave us life, and He is our life. The fifth chapter tells us. He is our life. And so we show unto you that eternal life. By the way, who's the we there? Somebody said that's the editorial we. No. John's not speaking from himself. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking through him and with him and by him. Notice now, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us in the incarnation. Now, what's the purpose? Twofold purpose. That ye might have fellowship with us. Now we see several things here. This matter of the appeal to our senses. We talk about the life of Christ. The life of Christ that's experienced personally. That we bear witness of. Openly revealed. And then there's the life by Christ. We witness by His power, not our own. You don't go on a visit in your strength. You don't meet the world in the world and in the world's situation in your strength. It doesn't work that way. When the command was given in the latter part of the book of Matthew, the Word of God says, and lo, I am with you. You're not alone. I don't know how many times I've had people tell me, both here and in other churches, I can't witness. I'm just not cut out that way. Well, you might not be cut out that way, but I think you are. You just maybe got sewed up wrong. You see, it's not in your strength. It's not in your ability. The Holy Spirit of God is able to set the stage and give you what you need to give to that individual. A lot of times when we go in our own strength, and I've done so, and I'm guilty of that, and I think most of us are, I inject my thoughts into it instead of relying on the Holy Spirit, and the whole thing goes haywire. It just doesn't work that way. And so we not only have life by the life of Christ, but we have our life and live our life by Christ, by His strength, by His presence, by His enablement. And then notice in verse 3, we come down to life with Christ. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is what? With the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm a country boy. And as they say, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. And I've spent a lot of time alone. Now, some of y'all have too, up on deer stands in different places, maybe fishing. But I'm talking about days at a time. Just me, and at that time, a lot of that time, I did not know the Lord. I was by myself. And there was something missing. But after I got saved in boot camp, U.S. Navy, and I began to read the Word of God, to get acquainted with the Lord, and to walk with the Lord, I haven't been alone since. Now, I haven't been around people all the time, and that's all right. But I have a sense, especially, I don't know why, but I wasn't a mountain boy. I mean, I was born Bald Knob, as you can tell, but and that's in the hills. But I grew up in the White River bottom. There are not any hills around there. But I enjoy the mountains. I enjoy that part of the world. And I get a sense of the presence of God alone with Him on a mountainside. But it's not any greater than it is when I'm talking to somebody about their soul. And if you're sitting here tonight and you have not witnessed to anybody that you do business with or that you meet with on the street or wherever you meet them, because you don't feel like you can handle it, remember, you're not alone. We are in this life with Christ. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you are, He is. Now, when He asks us to do something, and He says, I will be with you, my inability doesn't matter. What matters is He has the ability and He's there. And He always will be. Now, notice He says, two reasons why I've written this book. One, that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship's with the Father and with His Son. And the second reason is in verse 4. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, I visit folks who are in the mully grubs all the time. Why? Because something is out of kilter between them and the Lord. And as a result, they don't have fullness of joy. They don't recognize His presence, do not respond to His presence, or do not yield to His will. And that last one is a lot of times the problem. Because when I get in my will instead of His will, I'm hard to live with. Now, don't ask Patsy. She might tell you too much. But seriously, the blessing of the presence of God. Now, there's a characteristic of Him given in verses 5, 6, and 7 that is basic, necessary, prerequisite to our fullness of joy in our walking with God. He said, this then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Light is a picture in the Word of God of holiness, of righteousness. And as that picture is brought to our mind, we realize that, hey, in him is no sin. And if you go to the Greek in this, it's stronger than the English. The Greek has a form of the word that is used that means not at all. Absolutely not at all. It's a very positive statement. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's a strong negation there in the Greek. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're lying. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, now, how is he in the light? No darkness at all. You know what that means? Since you and I are sinners saved by the grace of God, the only way we can maintain that walk is by keeping absolute short records with God. To allow sin to remain between us and God, when he has no darkness at all in him, he cannot fellowship with sin in any degree. How can we have fellowship with him? It's impossible apart from the blood of Christ. Totally impossible. And the application of the blood of Christ to our sin through confession and forgiveness maintains his presence, his forgiveness, his power to accomplish what he sends us to do. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, now we have not only the life of Christ and life by Christ and life with Christ, but we have the light of Christ. You don't walk in darkness when you walk with him. The way is made clear. That's where the concept that the lost world sometimes expresses about the Lord, the concept of him being the way shower. But he's more than the way shower. He's the light for the way, yes. He illuminates the way, yes. But more than that, he is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, let's turn the lights on. Let's turn the lights on. How do we do it? We're sinners. We'll get into the ninth verse in a minute. But the only way we can walk in the light is he is in the light and have fellowship with one another. What happens? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. Cleansing blood. Now notice, from what? From all sin. Are you washed in the blood? Is that blood applied daily, momentarily, many times a day? It should be. If we say that we have no sin, We're just fooling ourselves. That's what the word deceive means. We're just kidding ourselves. And what? The truth is not in us. If we say that we haven't sinned, and I meet people time and again, oh, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've quit sinning business. And the old nature rises up and makes me want to tell them, you're a liar. But the Word of God says they are. I don't usually. In fact, I don't think I ever have but one time. But notice, there's two aspects or two approaches to sin. One is to deny it. Deny that it's there. The other is to confess it, that it's there. Now, I know that that takes faith, but the faith in our lives is to be borne out by the facts in our lives. The faith in our lives is to be shown, manifested by the facts in our lives. If we confess our sins, not to a priest, not to a preacher, if you sinned against somebody, maybe to deal with that with them. But primarily, the confession here is to God, because He is the one we have offended. And He is the one we need to walk with. He is the one that we need His power to enable us to walk. So if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful to forgive us our sins. And not only that, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, did any of you ever use an awl, an A-W-L? Yeah. We used to use them for two or three things. One was working leather. I used to work leather when I was in a kid and had, usually when I got a belt, it'd be the right length, but it wouldn't have the holes going farther enough back. I've got a leather punch now that I use, but for the same thing, when I have to take another notch up and there's not a hole there to make it, I make my own. But that awl was used to mark with. We used to use it as a scratch awl and to poke holes to sew leather or whatever. But, you know, the awls that are here, and there are several of them, notice the awl in verse 9 and then the awl in verse 7. And then verse 5, in verse 5, the all has to do with no darkness at all. But in verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, one of the problems that we have in walking with the Lord is the fact that we believe the devil when he brings up all those things that we've done in the past. Why do you believe the devil, who is a liar and the founder of it and the father of it? And you don't believe God, who is the truth and the way and the life, when he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Don't let the devil slow you down. Notice what he says. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One fellow said, that word all only has one meaning. It means all. Every bit. Forgiveness is complete in Jesus Christ. Now, if, you'll notice that a lot of these verses start with if. You know why? Because it's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to our response. It's up to our obedience. It's up to our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, walking with him. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. Folks, this chapter is the laying of the foundation for a successful Christian life, for a busy Christian life, for a faithful Christian life, for a fruitful Christian life. Let's turn the light on. By the grace of God, anything that you know is hindering you from serving him, take it to the cross tonight. And let's go from this place like John was doing, witnessing of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Father, make the application to my heart and to every heart in this room. For the glory of God, do what I cannot do. I trust you for it. I leave it in your care and in your keeping. And for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.